Well, good morning, Living Water.
Morning.
You glad to be in God's house?
Yes.
Right on, me too. Take your Bibles out and find the book of Psalm, please. The book of the Psalms. Thank you, Trey and crew. We're blessed, amen?
Amen.
You've heard it a few times. I'll just get mine out of the way. Happy anniversary. We knew what God wanted us to do 18 years ago. I just ran from it because I had a different idea how things were supposed to roll out. And I couldn't imagine how God could possibly not understand how this was supposed to roll out. And then I finally, with the help of my wife, my family, said yes to what it was he wanted me to do. And last night I was talking with Miss Kim, and I said, you know, everybody is so encouraging, and man, we love you guys so much. We love our church. We love the church. We love the God of the church. We love the unchurched, the out of church, the in church, the over church, the under church. We just love people, okay? So I was talking to her last night, and I said, everyone's so encouraging, and everyone is so thankful for what I have done. And I have done nothing but just whatever the next step God told us to do. And what I want everyone to understand is, we wouldn't be here were it not for my amazing wife and family. So can we thank them for following the call? Listen, it's a family calling. It's not me and you follow or else. No, it doesn't work that way. No, it's a family calling, or you don't last very long, or you don't stay married very long. I'm thankful that we have conquered both of those things. We're in this series called Called to Community. And obviously I didn't want to break the momentum of that. But as I've really been reflecting over the last 18 years, Trey is right. We've had so many changes, and we've fought some tough battles, and God is victorious. Amen. We are just absolutely blessed beyond belief, all of us in this room. Amen. Not just us, but corporately as a living body of Christ, we are blessed beyond belief. He gave us this building. Downstairs, if you would go down there right now, you would hear kids learning about Jesus at multiple age levels. And we're just in reflection. We're just doing what we've been called to do. And on service number one in my basement, I preached about the woman at the well, because it talks about the living water. And I told the folks that I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know where he's going to take us. But here's what he has told me. One, he has called me to tell the rest of the story. He's called me to not preach. preach in such a way that if you don't obey, you go to hell. I mean, if you don't obey me, because I had enough of that. And two, that we would be a fire that starts revival. So what I want to do is continue the thought and remind you of why we're here. We are called to unity. But unity for a purpose, not unity just to fill a building. Unity that brings about revival. Amen. It's more than just, man, I'll be there if you need me, or call me and I'll help you. Man, I got unchurched friends that'll do that. Amen. It's so much deeper than that. It is brotherhood. It is sisterhood. It is literally family. And if you don't approach your church like that, then the only other alternative is you're approaching church with a consumer mindset. Meaning, what can you do for me? Living Water will 100% disappoint you if that's how you come in. Not that we don't want to serve you, but we're going to miss something. And your consumer mindset will tell you that we don't care. Well, I want you to understand, we care more than you can possibly imagine. That being said, we care about the people outside the walls of the church and exist for them as much as you. In fact, our calling is that, my calling is that I could equip and train for you to go minister. Ephesians 4. And there are others in this place that would do that. And I could go down the list of everybody and the positions that they fill. And man, none of this happens by magic. We wish it would. But it doesn't. It's hard work for a whole lot of people. And me being the least amongst them, there's a lot of people that have gotten us this far. And what I want us to do is remember why we're doing this. We're here to start a revival that will change the nation. We are here to start a revival that will change the nation. You're like, well, awesome. How does that happen? Unity. Unity. Psalm 133 is where I want us to go. We're going to start with this verse, and we are going to end with this verse. Amen? You with me? Everybody awake? Psalm 133, let's just read the entire chapter, please. It's only a few verses. The Bible says this, behold, that means don't glance but gaze. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. I could preach out of verse 2 for 3 weeks. But I want you to extract from that verse and circle or underline the word oil. Verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon. If you would underline, circle, dew. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, the Lord, I want you to see these next three words. commanded the blessing. No, see, no, we ain't gonna play like this. No, we just read in our Bible that God, our Creator, when we operate in unity, commands blessings to be on our life. So what that's going to do is take away your victim mentality. It's going to take away your woe is me attitude. It's going to take away all of those things because you know that God has commanded blessing to be on your life. It's not that he wants blessing. He's not just saying maybe it'll come. When we operate in unity, God, our Father in heaven, regardless of who did what to you, regardless of how you've been hurt, regardless of what your present circumstance is, hear me very carefully. Your Bible and my Bible just said how good and how pleasant it is for those of us who call ourselves Christ followers to dwell in unity. When that happens, God commands. Blessings don't have a choice but to be all over your life. That's exciting to me. God commands the blessing. Life forevermore. God, I bless the reading of your word, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us as we navigate this subject of unity and how we are called to it and how you will respond to it, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we could connect the dots of how unity will bring about revival if we will only allow ourselves to put aside our own agendas, put aside our differences long enough to focus our eyes on the prize, your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we know that you will open up the windows of heaven and you will command blessings on each and every one of our lives. Not just for the moment, but for life forevermore. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do with our time together. In the glorious, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, we pray this thing. And the church said, amen. Can you give him a praise one more time? So David wrote this psalm really to paint a picture for us. It's very poetic, and it looks like a bunch of analogies, metaphors. But he wrote this picture to really to show us what united minds and united hearts, united spirits, what it can create. It can literally change the atmosphere. It can change the environment. It can change the future. Amen. He starts the chapter with behold. That's a very important word to get your mind around because it is a very powerful word. It's not one you just drive past. When he says behold, it means don't take your eyes off of this because this is always going to be here. No, you missed it. This promise is always going to be here. Gaze upon it. Don't look at it. Don't take your eyes off of it. Keep this in your mind's eye because this is the word of God. Amen. And he said, pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm getting ready to tell you. It's not only good, but it's pleasant. It's good and it's pleasant. I'll take either one. He gives us both. And you're like that, oh, okay, good and pleasant. I had a good day. Kim and I always ask each other, how was your day today? Good or not good or long, trying. We use words to mean so many different things. So what I want you to do is I want you to walk away from here with a clear understanding of what we are to behold, okay? How beautiful it is. So, good. If you're taking notes, write this down. Here's the definition. Good means beautiful, best, better, bountiful, cheerful, at ease. You want peace? You want peace in your life? Have some unity. No. You want peace in your life? Get some unity. You can dial it back a notch. You can be at ease as you're going through this life. You didn't hear me say there'd be no problems. You didn't hear me say anything like that. What you heard me say was, be at ease. Yeah. And it means cheerful. My father had a phrase that he would always use, and he used it a lot. And he would say when we would go play, and just like I feel sometimes, and I'll read a verse, and inside of me, I mean, it's jumping up and down. Are you reading the same verse I'm reading? And Dad would always say, and he didn't pull many punches at all, and he would say, I don't understand how you can sit there with a face like a mule. And I'm over here going, Dad, no one's stopping at the merch table if you keep saying that. You can't call them names. And then he would say, you know, with the long face and always looking like a victim, like you are a beast of burden. When God says, when you operate in unity, you might not just be cheerful, you'll live bountifully. You know, you already have more than enough. Amen. I have more than enough. Yeah. You do too. You just don't realize. You're like, well, I don't know where you work, but I don't have more than enough. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you didn't, your God's a liar. And we know that's impossible for him. Amen. But he also says pleasant. So let's marry the word good with the word pleasant. And the word pleasant is defined like this. Precious and prosperity. Now, but before you turn me off, I'm not saying you're going to have a ton of folding money in your pockets if you live in unity and follow Jesus. That doesn't always happen. You know, prosperity, we've just equated that because of our westernized mindset. The American church equates prosperity with nothing but dollars and cents. When in reality, that word prosperity means so much more. It means, and I want to help you with this because I really do. Now, I don't know about the televangelist that you watch. He might think that way. But the Bible uses the word prosperity to mean health. It uses the word prosperity to mean health for generations. It means blessing. It means favor. See, I don't know if you're connecting it up. That's what we sung about for an hour. It's the favor and blessing and mercy of Jesus Christ. That's prosperity. He's already promised to be the God of provision. I want to be a receiver of prosperity. The biblical version. But it also says that it's something that is precious. Something that is precious means that it's valuable. It means that it has a great worth. So unity to God carries with it great worth. It is something that he values greatly. And if God values it, then I want to value it. And if I value it, I want my church to value it. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We read here that unity of mind precedes the blessings of God. Yeah. I said unity of mind precedes the blessings of God. One day, this was years ago, one day I was praying and I said to God, you know, Send your spirit that we can be united in revival. Because this has been my prayer since we started Living Water. God, send revival. Send revival. Send revival. Send revival so that we can be as one. Send revival so we can be as one. Send revival so that we could be. But it doesn't work like that. Actually, it's the other way around. And it's our key thought for the day. And it, God doesn't come to make us united. He comes when we're united. See, unity, which we are called to, we can't even, we're called to community, and unity is part of that word. We there's no way we can minister or even create an atmosphere that fosters community without us being in unity. Because God corrected me that day praying. I need to quit praying for revival and pray that we would be united. Because when we're united, God shows up. And the more people that are united, the greater the power is and the presence of God is demonstrated. Come on, somebody. Example after example in the Bible, and I won't take the time to go through all of them, but you know I ain't going to stop there. In Acts 2, when they were in the upper room in one accord, the Spirit fell on them with tongues of fire. Why? Because they were of one mind and in one accord. Unity brought the presence of God. Amen. In Acts 4, when the early church was praying with one mind and in one unity, the place began to shake, according to verse 32. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart. That caused the very place where they were praying to shake. The power of unity is so underestimated. And the power of unity is not really even talked about in church very much unless there's a building fund campaign. Look, I've been in church a long time, so don't play like that was news to you. Come on, we're all unified. We're one family. We all got to sacrifice. We all got to give. We all got to. All of a sudden, we're a unity and family. Unity. Listen, I want you to hear this. We can't even begin to minister without us being in unity. Oh, I didn't say God wouldn't do stuff. Oh, man, I just in reflection, the lives that have been changed, and Trey alluded to it, the people that have been saved, the marriages that have been healed, the people that have been healed. One Wednesday night, we came into church, and we got there early, and I think it was just me and Michelle and Rob, and we came in, and a lady came in possessed by a demon, and I looked at her, and I said, you got a devil in you, and of course, You confront someone like that who does have that happening, and you're going to get some resistance. You're looking at me like I'm Frank Peretti. This ain't fiction, church. And so I said, come on, we're going to pray. Come up here, and we prayed. And Rob will tell you, Michelle was there, that when we started praying for this woman, and she, the harder she wept, the more broken she become, the more demonic spirits left her body. And what I prayed was, and it wasn't me, God did the work. Don't misunderstand me. I was just a vessel. Okay, what I prayed was that we would be in unity, me or the three of us that were praying over this lady, that we would be in unity because demons can't handle unity. No, they can't. They got to run. They can't handle unity. I don't want you to underestimate unity. And I don't want you to leave here praying for revival. You're like, wait, hold up, man. I thought that was the purpose we existed. It is. But that is getting the cart before the horse. Your number one prayer should be after people coming to know Jesus is that the church that you love, the church that you attend, the church that you've given your life to, listen, would operate in unity. It's so important that Jesus prayed for it. What is it? John 17, is that right? John 17. John 17, he prays. You're looking at me like, is this, what is this, a quiz? He's praying a prayer, and he prayed for the disciples, and he prayed, oh, let them operate as one. Let them live in unity. Listen, he would not have prayed that if A, it wasn't important, and two, they were already doing it. It's like being called. We're called to something because we're not already doing it. Okay. So don't leave here praying for revival. Leave here changed, making your mind up that you are going to put aside your differences and your agenda and be a part of the big church so that this little part of the big church can be united and revival will rain down on us and we will not be able to contain the blessings that God is commanding on this church. God, I want us to see it. Unity, unity, unity. I've preached it till I'm blue in the face, and I'll preach it until I fall out. Jesus and God didn't manifest himself when they were doing religious things. God manifested himself when they became united. They became united, and the Spirit came, and the Spirit moved. And this shows us how necessary it is. If you've got, I know nothing about like electrical work. In fact, Kim wanted a dimmer in the dining room. And I'm like, I got this. I even marked the wires. Because I didn't. And they make it so easy because the screws are the same color as the wire. Yeah, when I hooked it up, none of the lights in the whole thing worked. So I said, it's a bad switch. It's a bad switch. So I put it in the thing, getting ready to take it back. I want to go stand in line at Lowe's and go, hey, that's a bad switch. And one day Ryan came over, and Kim said, "Hey Ryan, can you hook up my?" And I'm really, I'm right here, I'm standing right here. You couldn't go behind my back with that. And Ryan, can you hook up the dimmer switch? Sure. He looks at it. Oh yeah. Bam. All of a sudden, it's like we're eating in just a romantic restaurant, or you get a sunburn. I'm no expert on anything, but I know very, very little about electrical work. But I know this, if you don't have all the wires connected, you have no power. And if you as a church and me as a part of a church, if we're not connected, you need to hear me. Because it plays out in the natural and the spiritual, we have no power. When it was God's plan that we would do more than his son did while he was here on this earth. That we would accomplish more, do more miracles. Are you still with me? We're not reading. Hold your head up. Listen, God, that was his desire for our life, to bless us. To make us prosper. He commanded the blessings. You can't have a broken connection because power can't flow. Power can't flow. Philippians chapter 2. verses 1 through 5. I chose the New Living Translation because I love the way it spells it out. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort from His love? Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me, Paul said, truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Jesus didn't come here for him. You need to get up in the morning with the mindset and make your mind up then. You are not there. You're not still breathing. You're not alive. You're not going to go to work for you. It's for that person and for that assignment that God has already put into motion. And you're going to cross a path, or you're going to come in contact with your assignment. Holy, agreeing, loving one another, working together with one mind, one purpose. Don't be selfish. Revivals in the past have always been the achievement of oneness. It would be a group of people, usually a smaller group, that were like-minded and it became a blazing fire. And it's not until somebody gets a wild hair and starts questioning authority, starts questioning, and I'm not saying you can't ask me questions or challenge me. I'm accountable to every single one of you, and my wife, especially, and my family, mostly God. But whenever they started challenging the direction that things were going, connections broken. You didn't hear me say you can't ask questions. There's a difference in asking a question and telling somebody what they're doing wrong. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Unity. I love it. We've all had temporary experiences where we felt like God is getting ready to do something explosive. Have you ever left an experience like that where it was like, we've had so many of those services here. God, look, I've never came to this church and not felt the Spirit of God. And I say that in humility, and I'm so, so thankful for that. But have you ever left, I don't care where you were, a time when believers came together and it was, you felt it, man. It was going to be explosive. And then all of a sudden, it felt like God sucked the spirit out of the room. You ever had that happen? I'm telling you, this is why. Because somebody broke connection. Because God's not in the business of bait and switch. No, that's not what He does. What He does is He flows. And I'm getting weary of having the connection broke. I want to see unity, which builds momentum, which brings revival. That is what we are called to do. Everybody, every young pastor that I've ever talked to that wanted to meet with me, and you know, hey, I know you planted this church, you pioneered this church, you just kind of just, you know, did it. What did you do? And I'm like, well, don't do it like I did it. Do what works, whatever God's telling you to do. And they'll always ask, you know, how did you keep going this long, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, man, you never break connection. No matter how good or how bad it gets. See, in our society today, it's too easy to break connection with anything. Quit, get a new job. Leave your marriage, get a new spouse. There's literally no physical, earthly ramification for it. Oh, but we aren't living here as our eternal home. We better operate like it's operating in heaven. Power's not cut off in heaven. There's no interruption of power in heaven. And if we are filled with the Spirit of the living God, it is our duty to operate in unity so that the connection isn't broken. Amen, Jeff. Let me tell you what revival is not. It's not being blessed on Sunday, losing it until Wednesday. Yeah. And then getting it again and then losing it on Sunday. That's not. Oneness of mind does not mean identical doctrinal views. But oneness of mind is believing without wavering on the gospel. You can argue with one another or your co-workers or whomever about the end times. I'm not part of that conversation. If you want to know what I believe as I read it, I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it. You can talk all you want to about the things that don't matter. But when it comes to my Jesus, born of a virgin, you take that out of equation, we have a problem. You take away the fact that he walked on this earth. And you take the miracles out. I love it when people quote people like Thomas Jefferson of what a great spiritual hero that he was. Nobody does their homework. The man literally ripped every miracle of Jesus out of the New Testament. True story, documented. If you go to what you call it, his house. Go there too, and when you get there, there's a little museum you walk through, and when you walk through it, you're going to see, it says it on a plaque even. I ain't making this up. I knew it before I went. Oneness. You take out virgin birth, we got an issue. You take out Jesus and his miracles, we got an issue. You take out his death on the cross, we've got an issue. You take out the fact that he was put in the side of a hill, and a big rock rolled in front of it, and on the third day he rose again and right now sits at the right hand of the Father. You take that out of the equation and me and you have a problem. It's not a problem we can't get over, but you're going to come to my side. I say that out of love. Because I love to say it. No, I sincerely will not compromise on those things. Anything else? Well, there's others. But for the most part, the stuff that splits churches, not interested. Just not interested. The greatest extra-biblical example that I can give of this is during World War II. I'll read it. I'm quoting. The country was split up drastically over the war, but when the chips all fell, we were together. This was a World War II veteran writing. We followed the orders of the president and the direction of our generals. When the news of Pearl Harbor broke out, Democrats and Republicans alike joined hands and became united to rise up together to defeat the enemy.
I ain't holding no hand with no Democrat, a bunch of liberals. I ain't holding no hand with no Republican. You kidding me?
Man, my allegiance is not to a political party. My allegiance is not to a flag, and I'm not being offensive. I'm telling you, my allegiance is to Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to live where I live and be a part of a wonderful country like we have. But my vision is bigger than that. And thankfully, God so loved the so, yeah, there's that. You get on the other side of that, that being united, and you get the other side of that, and then you start getting into legalism. Amen. It's a totalitarian government. Oneness of mind. Unity doesn't mean we got to have the same doctrinal stance, but we've got to agree on the fundamentals. Amen. And amen. So here on our 18th anniversary, I want to ask you two questions. And these are serious questions. And you're going to take these, I hope, digest them. You don't have to answer them now because you're in church. And two things, I don't want you to lie. And secondly, I want you to think about it before you answer because, you know, you just come off of a powerful worship experience. These questions are very easy. How easy are they on Monday morning? If you're taking notes, write them down. Questions. Number one, I want you to ask yourself, do I really want to see revival? You're like, well, that's the dumbest question. No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is because all of us in this room know folks that know this Bible better than me, better than you, and live like hell. And say they're all for revival. It doesn't work that way. So I want you to ask yourself, as I've had to ask myself, do you really, really want to see revival? Because if you do, it's going to create change. Amen? It's going to create change. The second question I want to ask you, and you don't have to answer it now, am I willing to do whatever it takes to see heaven come to earth? Yeah, Jeff, man, that was the Lord's prayer. Well, that was an example that he was giving. Am I willing to do whatever it takes? Maybe you're not sure how to answer. That's okay. So let me help you unpack it for just a few minutes. And then maybe you can answer it. How will God revive us? Through oneness. If you're taking notes, write this down, please. We must be united in, number one, glorifying God alone. Yes. Glorifying God and God alone. God will not share his glory with anyone. God will not share his glory with anyone. Now, it doesn't mean you can't encourage one another. In fact, we are charged in the scripture to do so. But what it does mean is that you can't take God's glory. You can't lift yourself up or have people lift you up in such a way that you are receiving what God should have gotten. Jeff, how do we become united? We're united by glorifying God alone. There, you can't waver on this. In order to have unity, all of us have to be like-minded in glorifying God alone. We have to be saying the same thing on this subject. We must glorify God alone. You can seek attention, and God won't send his glory. You can seek praise, and God will let you have it, but he won't be around. Unity. Number two, we must be united in what God is doing. Do you realize that God is moving at Living Water? Now, I wrestled in the wording of number two because I can't put into words what he's doing. That's how I know it's from him. Okay? But what I know is he's doing something. And we've all got to be of one mind that whatever he's doing is okay with us. In fact, we're going to work together to see it manifested. Because God ain't hiding any secrets from us. He's given us the answer and the revelation of all things hidden. Come on, somebody. It's in the book. So we've got to be like-minded in what God is doing. God is flowing. God is always moving. We must move with him. You've got to, listen, we talked about, are you on board? Am I on board with wanting to see heaven come to earth? You want to know what God is doing? Read about what's going on in heaven. Read about what Jesus did, and you'll know what God is trying to do in your church. We got to be on board with that. We got to be united with that. And listen, it's all in. Are you feeling me? It's all in. It's not, well, I'm going to wait and see how this plays out and then I'll jump in. No, it doesn't work that way. Because if you lose connection, nothing works. No power whatsoever. You got to be united to what God is doing. And all of the side interests in our life, listen, All the things that are extracurricular, that is in the peripheral of our existence, it has distracted us from seeking unity, therefore bringing revival. Doing church has caused us to fall prey to distraction. I had a family join our church. We had our first men's meeting after he came. And I showed up. You guys know me. I'm me. You're like, wow, you're deep. So I showed up to the men's meeting. And we had a great time. That was a Saturday. On Sunday, he said he'd like to talk to me. And I'm like, yeah, man, of course. Go into my office. It was an old building. We go into my office, stepped over to stuff. It was a storage room. Stepped over stuff, got cleaned off something so he could sit down. I sit at my desk, and I'm like, yeah, man, what's going on in your life? I need to tell you something. I know God is telling me this, and God needs me to tell you this. And I'm like, okay. First of all, that I'm always very cautious when that, because if my spirit bearing witness, I'll know it. So I'm like, okay, go on. Here's the way it's supposed to be. The pastor is always supposed to dress just one level up from whatever the event is. Yeah, here we go. And there he went. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean he couldn't handle it. And I was giving him verses. No, that's not what that means. Well, no, that's exactly what that means. And so he said, if you're on a Sunday, suit. If you're at a men's meeting, you know some khakis and some, you know, a button-up shirt. Man, that's perfectly fine. Go on. No matter what it is, you've got to. I'm like, I'm not in a fashion contest, number one. Number two, Jesus couldn't care less as long as it's modest. Number three, you're going to hate me. You're going to hate my family because we're not here on this planet to impress anyone. And at the same token, I'm also not trying to upset the apple cart. That's I've preached it for 18 years. You be you. I'll be me. We'll be like-minded in Christ. And none of that dumb stuff will matter. We've been distracted from being in unity, and the devil has won a few of those battles. I want to take back what he's stolen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I want to take it back. Hallelujah. History tells us that Thomas Edison slept 4 hours a night while he was working on the light bulb. Some of you are like, that's about what I get now. Times were different then. He was eat up with it. I say that because great men and women who have accomplished great things have immersed themselves in what they believed in. He went to bed thinking about it. He rose up thinking about it. Don't raise your hand. Don't blurt an answer out. How much have you thought about unity in the last 7 days? And you're like, well, I've thought about it. Just didn't call it that. Well, it'll help you if you call it what God calls it. And I'm not being a stickler about it. I'm just saying you won't get sidetracked or derailed if you stay in alignment with what God has called it. Oh, how beautiful it is when my people live in unity. Unity. I read this week, true story, about the commitment and dedication of, and I'm not down with this. I hate it. I've wrote letters and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not a fan of bullfighting. I think it's cruel. But, I mean, no sense torturing anything. Amen. That's a sidebar. There wasn't nothing religious or spiritual about that whatsoever. But I read a story about bullfighters. True story. And they lived and breathed bullfighting. They trained to be better bullfighters. They talked about being a bullfighter. They believed in the continuation of the sport, so they gave their life for it and to it so that, traditionally speaking, it would go on and on and on. Those coming up behind them, they would train them at a very young age so that they would desire to be bullfighters. And I read that, and God just spoke to me and said, that's the design of the church. There's something about being all in that freaks us out. And what freaks us out is because it didn't work at the last church you were at. I can't fix what has happened in the past. I can't fix it. But on behalf of all of my peers, I'm so sorry that you were hurt. But at some point, you got to believe in our vision. At some point, you got to get on board and be united. Yes. Amen. Yes. I didn't say forget, because you probably won't. I probably won't. But I listen, it ain't going to stop me from moving forward, living revival, living unity, reading about it, teaching about it, doing everything I can, bringing it to the church, to the unchurched. I don't care who it is. When the world sees that the church has stopped being so divided, we won't be able to handle it because of the people that will be saved. But they look at the church and they're like, man, there's more unity at the VFW than there is at First Church or whatever the heck. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. Unity brings revival. Unity brings the presence of God. You can't pray for the presence of God and be disconnected with who it is you're to be connected to. Yes. Calm down. I have a heart attack on our 18th anniversary. Right on, man. Right on, man. That's right. Those bullfighters, when they stepped in the ring, it was put up or shut up. They couldn't just casually, you know what, if I don't like this bull, that's the way they walk. I've watched YouTube videos. That's how they walk. They got that cape. I think it's a weird way to walk. In fact, it's a little painful. They don't come in and go, you know what, I don't like this bull. I'm not even going to pay any attention to that bull. I told them I didn't like when they had a red blanket on the bull. I told them. I told them I wanted the blue blanket. I told them from the beginning, hey, every bull I get, I want a blue blanket. I don't want a red blanket. So you know what? I'm not doing this. You'll be holy, but only not in the way you desire. That was awesome. Got to give credit where it was due. I just kind of blurted that out at you guys. But here's the thing. It's put up or shut up. It's all in. But they know they've trained. They know there's people that's got their back. They know that there are people older that have encouraged and trained. Come on, church, don't leave me yet. And they're all in. They knew the mission and they went for it. Many times, and I say this out of humility, I'm not a... Kim said yesterday, we ought to pull out some of those old sermons, man, because you've got every one of them on cassette or CD. And I'm like, yeah. She said, you know, your speaking style has kind of changed a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, all I did was yell. I hated the devil so bad. I still do. But I try to package it a little differently now than I did then. And you can thank God for that later. But that being said, I think many times we come into God's house with a casual attitude. And this ain't me wagging my finger at you and you know lecturing you. This is your friend, your pastor, trying to admonish you that you can't do that and be united. You just can't. And we'll sit around and wonder why revival hasn't come and why we haven't seen the miracles, the signs and wonders that God promised would follow us. I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to be a spectator. If you've ever read anything by A.W. Tozer, you know that he is a powerful man of God, and especially when it came to prayer. Well, I was reading a Leonard Ravenhill book, which... you read a page, you fall on your knees and you repent. Read another page, you repent and read a page. If you don't know who he is, just go get any book by him and then tell me I'm right. But I was reading a book of his and he quoted A.W. Tozer and he said this. Christianity is the only religion in the world that people don't take seriously. People know that Buddhists, Muslims, Mormons, and so on, they all take their beliefs very seriously. But when they see most Christians, they see men and women just playing at it. Now, we can say that don't mean me. And we can say, well, not here. I say, let's own it. Let's own it. Let's own the part of that we need to own. We say we have the truth. We can say God can save the world with this truth. And we give God, when it's convenient, a couple of hours. I want to read 133 again of the book of Psalms, and then we'll go home. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That word dwell literally is translated to be married. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron. It's running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of and descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Oil. Oil represents the Spirit of God, and oil changes the environment. When Moses and Aaron were consecrated to be priests, they Exodus 29, he was clothed in priestly garments and anointed with oil. And there's a fragrance that the oil gives off. In the New Testament, we are told to have the fragrance of Jesus. Dew is a symbol of blessing. I'll go quickly. When Isaac blessed his son Jacob, he Genesis 27, may God give you the dew of heaven. Moses prayed that his teachings would let my teachings fall on you like rain. Let my speech settle like dew. Proverbs describes the favor of the king. The king's favor like dew on the grass. Finally, in Hosea, I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. And Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil like the cedars in Lebanon. Remember, unity brings about the blessings of God. Unity brings about the presence of God. I close with a reminder of our two questions. Number one, do I really want revival? Do I really want it? Number two, are you willing to do, and am I willing to do, whatever it takes to bring heaven to earth? Before we pray, before we dismiss, and thank you so much for being here and celebrating with us. But I wonder if we would, considering this subject of unity, and it's something that you struggle with, perhaps. Maybe it's because of prejudices, or as many have said to me, it's my personality. Then how do you keep a job because you got to be shooting at the same direction your employer's shooting at? Yeah, so we'll throw that one out. Maybe you've really not thought about it. You've really not bothered to get to know the people that call Living Water home. You're like, man, I don't have the time. You don't have the time not to, because unity brings revival.
And that's why we started Living Water. We didn't start Living Water because Kettering needed another church. We didn't start Living Water because we thought the church we were attending was doing it all wrong. That couldn't be farther from the truth. I loved my pastor. He loved me. He was so encouraging. On our 10-year anniversary, he sent me a video, and you all seen it, where he just said, you know, beautiful things about our church. So it wasn't a church split. I didn't throw chairs and leave mad. But I want you to understand that we ain't playing. We have a ton of fun, and we laugh a lot, and we don't take ourselves very seriously, but we take our assignment extremely seriously. And as everybody's heads up and everybody's looking around, have you struggled with this subject of unity? I mean, like, legit struggled, like, man, I kind of want to get out of here, and every time I preach, you've got a list of things that I said wrong. If you've struggled with this subject of unity, I want you to join me in standing, because I've struggled with it. Just join me in standing. God bless you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. Who else? I just wrestle. I'm not a big fan of people. I'm asking you to be a big fan of what God is doing. Who else? I struggle with this subject of unity. It's hard to embrace because after about 20 minutes, I'm not liking people very much. I'm asking you to fall in love with Jesus. With one mind and one accord, His presence shows up. Anyone else? With that being said, let me show you what unity looks like. Would everybody else stand, please? See, when we're all together and we're all as one, the first 4 or 5 people that stood up felt like they stood out. Felt a little awkward. But when everybody's united, everybody's in step with the vision and in step with what God is doing, our Bible said, definition of the word, it puts us at ease. Those who stood first, it puts you at ease when everybody's standing. Now that everybody's standing, a beautiful picture of unity, remain standing, and let me ask you this. The area of your life that is an incredible struggle, it's not even people, it's you wrestling with your Creator God. I want you to hear this. God loved you and loves you now so much that He sent His only Son. I have a son. I would not give him for you. I wouldn't. But God loved you so much that He gave His Son and let people beat on Him. Until He gave up His spirit, Jesus did. and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. So you would have a moment like this on our 18th anniversary at 12:04. If you need a relationship with Jesus, maybe it's a new one, maybe it's the first time, maybe it's asking him to forgive you. You're standing around people that are here to help you. If that's you and you need a fresh renewal, would you just raise your hand? We're all standing already. Thank you, dear. Who else? Just raise your hand. There's no shame. I ain't calling you out. You'll get no literature in the mail from me whatsoever. Anybody else? I want us first to pray for unity. And Jeff, I want you to pray that prayer for us, if you would, please. Pray. And before you go, those who raise their hand, that they need a refreshing. They need a new feeling. F-I-L-L-I-N-G. They need a relationship shared up with Jesus. Tom, I want you to pray the sinner's prayer for those who need Jesus. Amen. From the bottom of our hearts, Kim and I thank you so much. You've loved us. You've supported our vision. You've encouraged us. And I am so humbled to be able to be a part of this church. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. God bless you. Have a great day.